Y'all ready to start church? I think we've had church right here this morning. I tell you what, it's a great day. Man, it's a great day. It's a great day. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And again, if you have, if you use a mobile device to read the Bible, by all means, whip that out and open it up. But if the Wi-Fi police find out you're texting or Facebooking or tweeting, we're going to self-destruct your device. Actually, we won't. We want you to honor the time here this morning. So, Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read quite a bit of this chapter. It's a story. And I'm going to start in verse 4 and go on through 25. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Let me back up just a second. This is right after the stoning of Stephen. And the Bible tells us that Saul was there, and he actually may have even held the clothes of those that were stoning Stephen. Stephen, the first one to give his life. The first martyr, the first one to give his life for the sake of Christ. And so, right after this happened, you see right there, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They left. They scattered. Okay? Which turned out to be a good thing. The persecution drove them out of Jerusalem, and so it didn't just become a holy huddle. It spread them out all over the place. And here's what happened. Philip, verse 5, went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the gospel, or proclaim Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Verse 9, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the Great Power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time and with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your head, in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said will happen to me. When they testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. I have a question for you. Is Satan against religion? Kind of a trick question, isn't it? Is the old devil against religion? Is he opposed to religion? The answer is no. He quite often uses religion. He likes religion. That's one of his major tools in his bag of tricks. Matter of fact, if you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, remember Adam and Eve in the garden? It was kind of a religious temptation that he tempted them with. He didn't tempt them to be ungodly. He didn't tempt them to be like he was. He didn't tempt them to do something terrible and vicious and awful. The temptation was quite a religious temptation. It was to be like God, right? If you eat of this fruit, oh, did he really say? You can be like God. You can know what he knows. That was the temptation. It was a religious temptation. Philip went down into a city in Samaria and proclaimed the gospel of Christ. I want you to see something further on down in verse 9. It says here, "Now, for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great." All right. The disciples, the believers, they scattered. They went preaching around. Came out to this little place down in Samaria. Came upon a guy who was basically a magician. Okay? He had tricks and smoke and all that kind of stuff. And he really amazed the people. They were impressed. Matter of fact, he said he was great. He called himself great. But not only that, the people also said, "Oh, you are great. You're the great Simon. Simon the Great. Simon the Sorcerer the Great. The great sorcerer." I mean, he had them in his trickery. He had them wrapped up. Verse 10, where it says, "And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This is the divine power known as the great power.'" He had them, right? I mean, life was good for him. Think about it. I mean, he had sway over these people. They knew, they called him the great. Well, if he needed something, guess what he was going to get? Whatever he needed, right? He had them. Along comes these guys preaching Jesus Christ, and people quit following Simon the sorcerer and start going over here listening and getting saved and getting baptized and becoming followers of Jesus. He was losing his crowd. He was losing his income. He was losing his benefits. Come on. Think about this. You got a job, right? What if somebody else comes in and they start outsourcing? Anybody ever been a victim of outsourcing? That's where you come in and somebody else says, you're doing your job, and somebody else says, "Hey, I can do that cheaper and better over here." And they go, "Okay, we don't need you any longer." That's kind of what Simon was going through. He was like, "Wait a minute, I'm still great. Remember, I'm Simon the Great." And they're going like, "Okay, Simon the Great, we're going to be Christians." And so he was upset. And he thought, "Well, wait a minute. Let me see what's going on over here." And he came over here. Well, he decided, "Hey, this is great. I'll try something new. I'll get baptized. I'll get saved. And then maybe I can join this band and I can keep doing what I'm doing just under a different name." Simon was preaching a false religion. Whatever he was doing, all this magic stuff, it was false. But let me ask you something. Does that mean it wasn't real? It's another trick question. It was very real. Just because something is false doesn't make it unreal. It was false and wrong, but it was very real. Okay, he really had these guys, these people. Don't be astonished by the satanic force of false religion. Don't be amazed by false things. Just like Simon, he was preaching and doing all this other magic and shows and whatever and doing things. And people, he had the people. Don't be one of those people. Recognize the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by the superficial faith of false religion. In verse 13, there's something important you need to see. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. You see, Simon the sorcerer, he thought, "Well, I'm just going to change my mode of operation. But that's all I'm changing. I'm just going to change my mode of operation. I'm just going to change the way I do things and the name under which I do things. And I'm going to come over here and I'm going to still be doing the same old things. And I'm going to still get my people back. Get my peeps." and I can still get my money, my benefits, and I won't lose all that stuff, okay? And I don't really have to do anything. I just have to join the crowd over here. And then because I'm already great, they think I'm already great, I'll naturally become a leader in this crowd. It'd be awesome. What a great opportunity. Thanks, guys. Let me follow you around. He's amazing. I love it. This is kind of what Simon was doing. He was amazed. He was an unbeliever, though, in Jesus Christ. He was amazed and astonished, just like the rest of them were. He was not a true Christian. His heart was not right. Peter calls him later and says, "Your heart's not right. You have no part in this ministry with us." See, he believed the miracles. What the disciples were doing were miracles, and he believed those miracles. He believed the miracles, but not the Master. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He was amazed by the acts. He was amazed by the miracles. He was amazed that they could get following. Had a group, and it was like, wow, that's really cool. I like that. He was amazed, but he was not a believer. He believed in the miracles. And so I want to tell you that not all belief is saving belief. You may believe all the facts of the gospel. You may believe the stories that are in this Bible. You may believe the events of Jesus Christ's life and his death and his resurrection even. You may believe that. But if you've never put your faith and the trust in the God of the gospel, oh, come on now, there's something different there. You can believe the facts, but if you don't believe the man, if you don't believe the one who wrote the facts, you got a problem. And if you haven't done that, then you're not a Christian. The title of this sermon today is Counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity is a. Let me ask you something. If you see a $3 bill, I hear the chuckles, because that's obviously a fake, right? But we all know that there have been some others floating around, and they're usually in the denomination of 20s, sometimes 50s, right, that are counterfeit money. I don't know that I've ever seen one, but I hear that they're out there. They look right. They kind of feel right. At quick glance, they look right. But you try to pass that off, and somebody knows, you're going to be found out. Some of you, maybe even in this place, have not put your faith and your trust in the God of the gospel. You may believe the facts, but you've never put your faith in your trust in the God of the gospel. And if you haven't done that, you're not a Christian. You see, belief is not all belief is saving belief. Matter of fact, in James 2, verse 19, James says, You believe there is one God. That's great. Good. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. They shake in their, if they wear breeches, I don't know, but they shudder. They're afraid. They understand. They believe. But there's a difference. Not all belief is saving belief. You can be a believer and not be saved. Listen to this. You may know the plan and yet not know the man. There's a huge difference, y'all. There's a huge difference between the facts and allowing those facts to ring true in your life. And if you believe the facts, but you don't show evidence and you don't have those facts are not ringing true in your life, you're a $3 bill. Don't be destroyed by the selfishness and the selfish focus of false religion. And I say false religion a lot. You know, we can often look at, we could rattle off some other religions that we can identify as false religions because we believe, you know, that they're not the truth. Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How many other people get to the Father? Nobody gets to the Father except by me, Jesus Christ said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as Christians, we believe that anybody that believes anything different than that, it's a false religion. Okay? And it's easy to identify some of those, but it's sometimes not as easy to identify that in our own lives where we may not really believe. Maybe it's just become a habit and we do it because we've always done it. Or we do it because my parents have always done it. I don't really know why, but we do it, so I'm a Christian. Selfishness fuels this falsity, this fakeness, this counterfeit theology is fueled by selfishness, and I'll show you why. In Isaiah, I think I have these for the... Do I have these on the screen? Isaiah chapter 14. I thought I had that marked. Verses 12 through 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. This is talking about the old Satan here. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is Isaiah's talking about when Lucifer, the selfishness, the false religion that he has, from the very beginning, of when he fell, he was all about him. Listen to this. I will. All about me. Right? I will ascend. I will sit. I want this. It's all about me. I'm selfish. As if to say, it's all about him. Five times he says, I will. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Not my will, but thine. Not my will, God. Not my will. Your will. Whatever your will is, that's what I want. Whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want. And in Jesus' case, even if it means my death, if that's what you want, Lord, here I am. I'm here. In your case, what is it? What is it that you have to say? Is it my will or not my will? Are you going, I will, I want, I need, I want? Or are you saying, God, not my will? It's not what I want. It's not what I need. It's not what I think I deserve. God, it's whatever you think I need. And I trust you for that. That's the mark of a true Christian. All false religion is self-centered. That's a very easy thing. Nobody call out names, please. But surely you can think of somebody who is selfish or self-centered, right? It's always about them. You get to a conversation with them, and you never get a word in edgewise because they're always telling you about them. I did this, and I do that. I want to do that. Oh, I need this, and I need that. My car is this, and my dad. It's all about them, right? You never get to say anything. Even if it was going to be about them, they don't let you because they're just, right? Does anybody know anybody like that? Okay. Do you know anybody who is completely selfless? So it's never about them. They're always saying, how are you doing? Tell me about you. I want to hear about you. Are you okay? There's a big difference there. That is a mark. That is one of the characteristics of a true Christian. Selflessness. I'll tell you that churches everywhere are full of people like old Simon the sorcerer. Churches are full of people like Simon. They have religion, but they've never met Jesus. They know how to act, but they've never met Jesus. They know how to sing the right songs. They know when to stand and when to sit. They know what proper etiquette is when you get the plate. You don't reach in and take money out. You always put money in. You know, they understand all these things, right? They know that you're supposed to be quiet and you don't run in the church. You know that you're supposed to wear the right dress. You're supposed to do this and comb your hair the right way. right? All those things you know you're supposed to do. But if you haven't met Jesus, what does it count? It doesn't. Man, don't even bother if you don't know Jesus. It's not going to get you anything. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Not by what you wear. Not by how you act. Not by how much money you give to the church. Not by how many classes you teach. How many times you volunteer to take kids to camp. We still need volunteers, but they've never been broken over their sin. They've never come to the point where they recognize this sin is not about me. My sin, my behavior disappoints the God who wants to save me from those behaviors. They've never laid down their pride. They come to church, but not for what they can give. They come to church because of what they can get. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to get a blessing. You get blessings when you come to church, yes. But do you come to church to give a blessing? Do you come to church to be a blessing? Do you come to church to honor and bless God through your proper worship? Or do you come because, well, I get to see my friends. I'm going to show up enough times. That way, if I ever need something, I can call on these people. They won't think I'm fake. We laugh, but it's the truth. And we all know that. That's why we laugh, right? Because we know that that's true. My friend, let me urge you, let me plead with you. Don't be a counterfeit. Because let me tell you something, there's going to come a day. The Bible tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for some, it's going to be too late. That pridefulness we're talking about, where I said that they never laid down their pride, they're going to lay down their pride sometime, someday. Problem is, if they wait until that day, it's going to be too late. And although every knee will bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's still going to ask the question, what did you do with Jesus when you were on earth? That was decision time. Now is judgment time. What did you do? These type of people, their religion always leaves them unsatisfied. You know why they're unsatisfied? Because a counterfeit cannot satisfy. It cannot fill the need. It cannot. It looks good, like Michelle was talking about. It may look good on the outside. It may even kind of taste right for a minute. But in the end, it's empty. It's hollow. And it's going to leave you unsatisfied. There's a song that I love. Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful and true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain. There's a fountain. God wants to flow into your life. He wants to bless you. But he's not going to pour stuff on you and in you if you're not real, if you're a counterfeit. I'm going to wrap this up. But I want to look at verse 24. Here's kind of where it comes together. Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Because see, right above that, Peter says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and a captive to sin. He says, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Simon says, pray for me. I don't want that to happen. Pray for me. You see, even in that, in his, quote, repentance, it's still about him. Pray for me. I don't want that to happen to me. That would be bad. I don't want that. That's not good. I don't want that. Pray that that doesn't happen to me. He didn't say, oh, I have sinned. I am wrong. I have hurt the heart of my Lord and my Savior. He didn't say that. It's all about Simon. It's all about this sorcerer. True repentance brings times of refreshing. Back in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 says this: repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times, oh, listen to this, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Times of refreshing. How many of you need to be refreshed? Have you ever worked outside in a hot, hot, long, hard day, and you're parched and your throat's dry, and you come in, pour yourself a big old glass of sweet tea, or a big old glass of crystal clear water, or whatever, Gatorade, whatever you use to refresh yourself, non-alcoholic beverages, and takes that, and you take a big old drink of that, and it's just like, oh, it just feels good. It wets your throat again. It just, oh, and you feel refreshed. And then and a minute later, you just feel, I'm not so hot. I'm not so tired. I'm ready to go again. I'm ready to build more fence. I'm ready to go do whatever. Refreshing. There's a big difference between being refreshed and being squashed down, being under the weight of the situation. He says, pray that none of that stuff will happen to me. Not pray that I get my heart right with God. There's a difference. He didn't say, I want to be refreshed. He didn't say, I want to feel right again. I want to feel like I'm being used by God. I want to feel like God loves me. I want to feel that again. He didn't say that. He said, I just don't want the bad stuff to happen to me. I don't need all the good stuff, I guess, but I just don't want the bad stuff. I can get by without the blessings. I just don't want the bad stuff. You see, there's a difference. That as Christians, we're saying, no, I don't want the bad stuff. I really don't. But what, more than that, I want to please Jesus. I want to please him. He did something for me. He gave his very life for me. I owe him my life. And I want to give him the best I've got. That's what a Christian does. That's what a true Christian does. You see, the unsaved person, this counterfeit Christian, fears the consequences of sin. Oh, I don't want the bad. I'm going to be good because I don't want the, I don't want curses. I want God to give me money. I'm going to be good because I want to go to heaven, I think. I hope I do. I hope I'm good enough to get into heaven. Right? I hope I'm good enough. A lot of times we talk about people, I'm sure they were in heaven because he was a good man. He was a good person. Unsaved people fear the consequences of sin, but the saved person is brokenhearted because they've broken the heart of God. Where are you this morning? Where are you today in your walk with Christ? Are you the real deal? Or are you counterfeit? I'm not going to try to answer that question for you. I don't have any business answering that for you. But you need to ask it yourself. I need to ask that myself. Am I the real deal? Or am I putting on the show? Am I living one thing in front of people where they're watching? And is my heart something different over here? Am I doing what's good and right so I can get the benefits of this, but I really enjoy doing this over here? I know it's not right, but hey, this is my life. You only go around once, right? YOLO. The kids get that. It's text that says, for you only live once. Not me. I'm going to live twice. I'm going to live one time here, and then I'm going to live forever. Unless Jesus comes back before I die, then I just live once forever. That'd be all right with me. Where are you today? Where are you today? Can you identify things in your life where you can say, yes, it has definitely always been all about Jesus in my life? Or can you identify things in your life where you can say, you know what? I've been doing this, and it's a good thing. I just don't know why I've been doing it, just because I always have. My mom and dad taught me to. I know it's the right thing to do, so I do it. But your heart's not right, like old Simon. Your heart's not right. Let me encourage you. Keep doing the right things, but get your heart to coincide with it, so that you're doing the right things for the right reasons, to honor and glorify the God who saved you from eternal damnation. Maybe this morning, listen here, it's a challenge. Maybe this morning, you could sit there and say, you know what? Maybe I need to get baptized. Maybe I need to rededicate my life today, start fresh. Maybe I need to be rebaptized. Guess what? We've got water. We've got shirts. I've got 2 pairs of shorts. You don't have to have anything. Right now, we can do it. I'll be standing here in a minute. If that's you, by all means, we got time. If today is the day where you recognize I am going to stop being fake, I'm going to stop being counterfeit, I'm going to stop being sweet and low, I'm going to be the real deal. And I want people to know about it. If that's you today, oh, God bless you. Maybe today is the day you come and you say, you know what? I don't know that I have ever really put my faith and my trust in Jesus. I've been going through the motions. Listen, folks, today is the day we stop faking it. Respond to the Spirit's call in your life right now. Stand and we'll sing.